God.
Sanjay, last night we had a phone call from some people asking us to pray for a girl who had a bad accident. So, when we pray, the energy that we direct is cosmic energy. That's so.
Why not merely handing the whole thing? There is a thought, there is a movement in this consciousness created by Jill Parker. And you merely hand it over to this energy.
But, all right, but why is it necessary that we be involved at all?
Yeah, I don't ask any question. It is I have.
I see.
The eye is involved in it. That's again, it's passing through. I don't ask, why is it passing through?
Because there's one Swami Radha often refers to an English woman called Marjorie Eyre, who is very much in touch with the divine.
All of us are.
Yes, right. But she was told that the human beings are, that in our present form, while we are in the physical body, we are of use because we have emotions, and that those emotions can become used by the divine to channel this energy.
I wouldn't want to contradict. Marvelous. It sounds very good. Those words are lovely. The next. No, we may find some answer to it in the next. So, nimitta bhavana, or the knowledge I am in, the knowledge that the personality is an instrument in the hands of the divine, is nimitta bhavana. And that should be totally a non-dual consciousness. The next is Narayana Bhavana, or I gave the Narayana Bhavana not only because Swami Shivananda used it quite often, but because all the first letters are the same, NNN, Nishkama Nimitta Narayana. It can also be Atma Bhavana. If you don't believe in this Narayana, you believe in Atma. Both mean the same thing. Narayana, just for your entertainment, has quite a number of meanings too. Apart from being the name of a member of the Trinity, the word itself has quite a number of meanings. One is the meaning, number one is that it is the abode of man. Nara, abode, yes? Abode of man. And the other is the path that man treads. I am the way, yes? Exactly the same meaning. I am the way. And the next is even more interesting, the son of man. Narayana can mean all these three. S-O-N. Yes, S-O-N. Son of man. The energy flows through this personality, and the personality recognizes, knows that the energy is not mine. It is, in fact and in truth, the divine. And so the action, the real actor, the real doer, is the divine. But then the flowing energy is directed to somebody or other. I am talking to you. So now that the I has been disposed of, and there is the direct understanding that it is the divine energy that flows through, not particularly me, but everybody, I see that this is being directed to you. Who is you? I am an instrument in the hands of God serving you. As long as this feeling is there that I serve you, I love you, as long as the you continues to be, the I either is there or is potentially there. The I is either manifestly there or potentially there. It is not possible to have an object without the subject springing up immediately or later. And as long as this subject-object relationship is there, so long it is impossible to avoid motivation. The whole thing comes up. I love you is a terribly inadequate, if not false, expression. I don't think most of you even think that the sentence is complete. I love you. Because there is a motivation. Why? Why do I love you and not somebody else?
There's never any reason.
That comes later. And then if there is no reason at all, why should I love only one person or not everybody else? The reason may be dormant or active, latent or patent. The reason is there and the motivation is therefore there. So any duality relationship, I love you, I serve you, has a motivation somewhere. If I think it is not there, I have not looked properly. Right. And then the whole thing, the whole vicious circle begins to swing very violently. I love you because I admire you or whatever it is. And then I serve you. I love you means I serve you naturally. You, not someone else. And from there on I am hurt and I am hurt and I am hurt and I am hurt. Life becomes only a series of disappointments. Because I love you, even if I do not expect anything from you, even if my motivation is nearly pure. Nearly pure, yeah? Nearly pure is impure. Even if my motivation is nearly pure, and I do not expect anything from you at all. I don't want any material reward, I don't want you to scratch my back, I don't want you to... I don't even want you to reciprocate. Let's say it's so pure. I say I love you, I don't even care if you do not say I love you too. But I am hurt if you do something, if you hate me. Why, what for? I do some good to this young man, and it so happens that one day I am stranded on my way to Nelson. I am standing there doing this thumbing. I don't know him. He drives past, I do this, he looks at me and drives on. Doesn't hurt me, doesn't even touch me. And then comes this man, I do this a little vigorously, knowing that I know him. I know him. He also looks and goes on. It hurts. Why does it hurt? Because that love was directed to a person, to a personality. I thought I had got rid of this I by cosmetically applying this Nimitta Bhavana, instrument. I am an instrument in the hands of God. I am an instrument in the hands of God. I love you all. Only you, not... Not that baboon hanging on the tree. So, this I love you, as long as there is this duality, it is not love.
The mother and the infant.
Mother and the infant, whether even though you think that the infant is outside, you for a long time, some mothers nearly never get out of this stage, you still think that the baby is in you. You are still expecting the baby. Watch carefully. Most mothers, even when the daughter is the grandmother herself, they still continue this relationship, much to the pain and embarrassment of the daughter. No. To that type of mother you are speaking about, the baby is never born. The baby is still within her. Very carefully to be, you know, she, even when she turns in bed, she has to be a bit careful. And that she continues throughout her life. The baby is never born.
Oh, well, that's a perversion. I'm speaking about the real motherly affection.
Yeah, real motherly affection is quite, I think it's obvious if you watch nature. As long as you are expecting that baby, the baby is completely, totally dependent upon you. Totally. So that if you stop breathing, the baby also stops breathing. The fetus also stops breathing. And then the baby is delivered into the world, there is a connection, the umbilical cord. There is still, it's able to fend for itself, but it's dependent upon you. Previous to that, it was part of you. Now it is dependent upon you. Once the cord is cut, the baby is independent.
But if a mother has the attitude you've just described, she won't.
If the mother feels that this is also a manifestation of the same energy and the same cosmic consciousness, as this is a manifestation of this cosmic consciousness, this is a manifestation of the same cosmic consciousness, it is the cosmic energy that moves. Then without asking any question, you will feed that baby.
Why not somebody else's baby?
You might. Why not? You might. But the question will not arise.
The
question arises only because the mind still thinks in terms of this or that. The I is there and the you is there. You are what people have done. People have renounced a wife and gone and hooked on to somebody else. I don't love my wife because that is attachment. And then I go and get hooked on to somebody else. Oh no, this is divine. Okay, you want to bluff yourself? Go on. Carry on. What's wrong with that? So people abandon their children and go and donate to an orphanage. My God. Silly. So if the question doesn't arise at all, in the movement of cosmic energy, cosmic consciousness, no, there are no questions. In love, there is no question. When you are sleeping, you are not asking why am I sleeping? I could have been better doing something else. You are fast asleep, sound asleep. Sound asleep means no snoring. sleeping which is accompanied by sound. So you are fast sound asleep. You don't ask any question. Why am I sleeping now? I could just as well have been, you know, meditating, or I could just as well have been, you know, washing dishes. Can love also operate in that manner? Can this cosmic energy move without asking any questions whatsoever? I don't love you. It's the cosmic energy that flows. It doesn't love you. It's the cosmic energy that flows. Then there is no disappointment at all. When there is no division, there is no disappointment at all. There is no desire and there is no disappointment. There is no hope and therefore there is no frustration.
The children get taken care of though.
You are still worried about the children. You are still worried about the, I can see that. You are still worried about, what about my baby still?
Well, no, anybody's baby.
No. Yeah, anybody's baby.
Babies need to be taken care of. The mother loves everybody.
I hope you, some of you ladies don't mind. This is a story which which is given in one of Ramakrishna's books. It seems a young man like the yogi we were talking about yesterday was brought up in a monastery. It was all male monastery and there was no female allowed, not even a female bird. No picture, nothing. So he had not seen he had no idea that the world is made of male and female. He had seen only boys, right from his childhood. And suddenly his master died of heart attack. And he knew that his master used to go every day at noontime to a nearby village and get some food. That much he knew. When this man collapsed and died of heart attack, the young boy was about 10 or 15. He had to go and beg for food. Probably he didn't die. Anyhow, he went to the village, stood in front of the first house, and said, "Bhiksha, food." They knew that this old man used to go there every noon time. And instead of him, there was this boy. A young girl of the house came forward with some food. And this probably was in some part of South India, where sometimes even ladies do not wear anything topless. They appear topless. So she appeared topless and wanted to give him some food. And this young man looked at her and it looks different. And then the mother or grandmother was standing behind this girl and very solicitously said, "You know, a couple of years ago I also had these boils on my body. And it was extremely painful, and my guru brought some herbs and crushed them and comfrey and tied it up. Then it got better. This girl has got a couple of them, I see. And I think it's better to put some comfrey." And that grandmother immediately sized up the innocence of this boy and said, "My son, it's not, they are not boils. Huh? They are natural and they are And then, of course, the young man was curious, and what are they then? And she explained that they are provided by God, even when she is young, to feed the children. She may give birth to sometime later. Just listened to it, looked at her. What am I begging all this food for? If that God or cosmic intelligence or whatever it is capable of looking after providing for some baby which she may not conceive at all, she may not marry at all, then this cosmic intelligence is so intelligent, so clever. What are you worried about? As a matter of fact, if you look very closely, what's going to happen to my child? What's going to happen to our children? This is what has caused the death of so many others. I must protect my children. I must protect my family. I must protect my community. You go and kill other people. Whereas the divine does not do that. It has provided what everyone needs carefully, tremendously carefully. One who sees that is free from that anxiety also. When you are free from that anxiety, it does not, again, I must insist upon this, it does not mean that I abandon my child and go and feed somebody else. No. It's not because she is my child I feed her, nor is it because she is not my child I feed her. Neither of these. When this mine, not mine, that duality has completely gone, there is love. Not I love you, there is love. Love is that pure movement of energy in cosmic consciousness. It does not know any distinctions at all. It does not know any difference. It's the purest expression of oneness. Oneness in which even the duality, even the suggestion of duality, the two are one, even that idea is not there. So it is not possible for your mind to conceive of this love. Because mind divides. First divides, it creates a duality where no duality exists, and then pretends to bring these two together in what is called, what it calls love. That's all mere idea. And therefore, what you and I call love, I love you, is no love at all. I is an abbreviation. The letter I is an abbreviation. The full word is idea. There is nothing called I. I is only an idea. This is I. That you is also I. So when this I says, I love you, this idea is in love with that idea, that's all. That's not love. It's merely that's also an idea. When this is seen, this idea collapses here, and that idea also entertained by this also collapses, and there is pure love, which does not question, there is no question at all. Must I not look after this child? Must I not look after the children of the world? Those ideas do not arise. What is?
Why is there provision in the teachings for the life of the householder who is clearly a you? Is that just temporary?
No. There is clearly a you is what you think now.
But there are two and the family.
Wait, there is clearly a you is what you thinks now. Is it possible at all whether there is a household life or a sannyasi life, swami life or an ashram life or whatever life is? Is it possible at all to have a pattern of an organization, a society, a social organization set up, in which the you will not exist? That is inherent in the mind. As long as the mind functions, and as long as the I functions, the you comes into being.
Giving up the I
by the I? Right. That is called acidity. Is that right?
Yeah.
That is the acidity. giving up the I by the I? Huh? So, therefore, without getting worked up about all these, can this truth be gently received, chewed up, and allowed to be assimilated? What do I call a household life? Nobody is holding a house. And houses are there. Even they who are not supposed to be householders, they also live in the same house. In one room the sannyasi exists, in the next room the husband and wife live. The house doesn't discriminate. Isn't that love? Beautiful this. You must look at that bed. The same bed has been slept on by a swami, by a householder, by a child, by an old man, by a dying person, dead person, all sorts of things. That bed that can say, I am an instrument in the hands of God. Huh? And so all... throughout the Karma Yogi's life, is vigilantly watchful to see where the idea of I arises. I being but an idea. Where does this idea arise? Because once that idea arises, it creates you. And then struggles to cancel that idea and this idea and so on by all this.
Gossip.